all stand together tonight, if you will. Help me sing this. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, and I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, for all he's made you glad. Let's sing one more time. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Amen. Has he made you glad tonight? Are you here to rejoice and give God praise? Amen. After the services we had here on the weekend, my, what a time. And we're looking for another good time in the Lord tonight. God has not changed. He's still here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a few requests. We want to remember Sister Denise and Sister Abby not feeling well tonight. Also continue to remember Brother Ron and Sister Vicky and Sister Mary. And also I think Sister Laura was in a automobile accidents. We'll remember her tonight, that the Lord will just touch her and be with her. And I'm sure there's other needs. If you just make those known by an uplifted hand, God sees our needs tonight. He's very mindful of what we have need of in the service, and he's here to give us the answer to what those needs are. And Sister Shirley. So remember the family tonight, Sister Shirley, the Harrison Shepherd family, passed from an aneurysm yesterday. Is that like a cousin or? Second cousin. So let's remember that family tonight in prayer. Brother Jonathan, come, if you will, lead us in prayer.
Amen. You happy to be in church tonight? Amen. Glad to see you. My kids call him Uncle Fred, but that's Brother Fred, friend of mine for years and years and years. So glad to see him with us tonight. Let's just pray together as a church. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we truly love you, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. We look at our lives and, Lord, where we could have been, but you was always there. You was always there right on time to bring us to where you needed us to be. And, Lord, tonight we're here to worship you, Lord, and in prayer, Lord, we lay our needs down and we see families, Lord, that's lost loved ones. We see families that are sick, Lord. We see families that are suffering, Lord. And Lord, we petition them and lay them at your altar and say, God, they're in your hands tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask you to move for each and every need, Lord. And Lord, we believe that we can, Lord. And we believe that you will, Lord. You have so many times before. And Lord, we give this service to you tonight, Lord. We come tonight to be encouraged, Lord. We come tonight to be corrected. We come tonight to be lifted up. And Lord, we come to worship you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to get our minds aside, Lord, and everything that's against this atmosphere to move aside, Lord, that you can take control, Lord, and you can speak through us in song, Lord, and we can raise our hands and worship you. And Lord, you bless my brother Ben tonight, Lord, as he would come, Lord, and Lord, clear his mind, clear his heart. Let him be a vessel, Lord, that you can use to speak to your bride tonight, Lord. And Lord, be sure that we're pulling, Lord, and we're getting what we have need of, and we can worship and say amen back. Lord, we ask these things in your lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I ask you to pray for me tonight, too. I've sung more songs than I did over the weekend. I don't remember it. My throat is kind of without me tonight. I need it to come back. Amen. So let's sing together, if you will. Let's sing this. Won't you just clap your hands and worship the Lord? Make up for the drums not being here. Y'all keep the beat. And it'll all be well tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Keep singing. There's a light in the window and a table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Well, I can see the crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever, and I've never been this whole. Bright light shine. It's just about home time, and I can see my Father standing at the door. Oh, this whole world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. I can see the family gathering, sweet faces all familiar, and no one's old or feeble anymore. Now my lonesome heart is crying. Oh, I think I'll spread my wings for flying, Lord. Tonight, I've never been this homesick before. The world has fallen apart around us, and there's just so much bad news. But tonight, we're here to hear some good news and what the Lord has got in store for us. Let's sing this together. Aren't you glad that over the weekend we had so many baggages and things, and God set us free from every one of them and healed our sick among us? And there's, I'm sure, many testimonies here tonight. But let's sing this together in B flat. He set me free. Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwelled. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and he listened to me. Oh, and glory to God. He set me free. Yes, he said. Set me free. Oh, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Oh, and glory to God. higher each day, and the darkness of night, it has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground. Oh, and glory to God, I am homeward bound. Oh, he set me free, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, and glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, no. Oh, and glory to God, I am going through, for he set me free, he set me free. Oh, and he broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Oh, and glory to God, he set me free. Aren't you thankful that he set you free? Amen. If there was something that had you bound or in chains after the service is here, now I'm a new creation. Why don't we sing that? It's an A flat. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. And all things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror, that is what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Let's sing that again. Oh, I'm a new creation. Thankful you can sing that tonight with all your heart. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. Old things are passed away. Praise the Lord. Let's try to sing this. What key did I say? We can do it in any key of F. It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Shall never be. Oh, it's a city where storm clouds ever gather. Oh, and this is just what heaven means to me. Help me sing now. Join the throne above. a place where there will be no misunderstanding. From all enmity and strife will be free. No unkind words that bruise the heart are spoken. Oh, and this is just what heaven means to me.
Help me sing it now.
Oh, what will it be when sides of the road, that just tears me up. When I'm like one of those little Indians they used to have a commercial, he's sitting there crying. That's me sitting there looking at people, just all kinds of stuff, just they don't care, just throw it out. And we have to live in this trash, and that's just natural trash. Imagine all the other trash, you know what I'm talking about, that we have to live in. But one of these days the Lord is going to purify it. He's going to clean it up, and he's going to bring us back, and we'll be here for an eternity. Amen. Just love and joy and peace. I just look forward to it tonight. Let's bless that wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, one more song, then we'll get out of the way tonight. I think it's in the key of G as well. Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find you. the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy. That tonight, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, we're thankful. We'll let you have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come tonight and receive the evening offering. You just give to the Lord, and I know He'll bless the efforts for that. Sister Nora is going to sing for us tonight, so if you just come right ahead, Sister Nora, and sing for us.
Come through again. a battle,
yes.
And I know, you never will. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing right now, breaking my heart of stone, taking over like it's Jericho. And my walls are all coming down. And right now, I know you're able. And my God will come through again. You can do all. Battle, and I know, you never will. You can do all things, you can do all things but fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know, you never will. And I know, you never will.
Never lost a battle, so I don't know why we don't have confidence tonight. And whatever it is that we have need of, God will win every single time. Is that right, Brother Greg? Amen. So let's stand together, if you will, as we invite our precious Brother Ben tonight to minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us. We're looking forward to it.
Amen.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm so glad your mercy. So glad your mercy has followed me. I'm so glad you found me. So glad that you found me. And you set me free. So glad I am yours, Lord. So glad I offer your pleasure His. Let's sing that together. Oh, so,
so glad I'm yours. So glad about it, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah.
I am glad that you found,
me. Found me and you set me
free.
I'm completely free.
So,
glad.
To be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's a real privilege to be back in the house of God. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Fred, good to see you, buddy. Been a lot of years. Yes, sir. You look good. I like that beard. Matthew 5, verse 38 and 39. The Lord helping us tonight, I want to speak on a persecuted church. A persecuted church. Certainly listen close at the words of the Lord Jesus, because even though these are things that may sound old-fashioned, they're things that happen every single day in the life of a child of God. In one way or another, whether it's you personally, the Word of God, the name of God, the church of God is being blasphemed in some manner. And it's meant to be that way. It's not something that we're ever going to escape, except for when the rapture comes. Amen. And we'll be able to escape it then. Matthew 5, 38. Really enjoyed that song tonight, girls. Beautiful job. Well done. Amen. Very well done. You've heard it been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Y'all reckon he knew he was talking to Laodiceans? I mean, you reckon Jesus knew that this would carry all the way through to 2023? Interesting, huh? So you mean it applies to not only them, but it applies to us too. Easier said than done. Verse 44, same chapter. But I say unto you, well, I hope you got a lot of shouts stored up tonight. We're going to need it, I can tell already. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Y'all want to have the altar call now? Get straightened up and then we'll go on. This is some pretty tough stuff. That ye may be the children of your Father. How many wants to be that? Everything we just read is the criteria. If you want to be God's child, you've got to go through this. How different that is from all that we hear in the secular world. The charismatic people, right now they're getting ready to do this big unbreakable challenge, and T.D. Jakes is being featured for business people. And I heard a clip just recently where he's telling the people, you know, power and wealth is in your mouth. Well, I would agree that for some people, power and wealth comes by their attitude and their mannerisms and their behavior. That's true. But that's not necessarily the kind of blessings that always lay in the life of a child of God. If you choose to serve the Lord, you'll be hated. If you choose to be God's child, you'll be despised. Come on, somebody. If you choose to walk the narrow way, it will be one of the hardest roads you've ever walked on. Somebody say amen. It will not be an easy, prosperous thing. Will there be that there? Yes, it will not always just be misery and doom and gloom, but there will always be a sacrifice and difficulty and challenges along the way. It's meant to be that way. If it was easy, everybody could do it. Amen. Let's pray together with the Word. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Scripture. Lord, there's many things that we could say that would just make our hearts leap when it comes to knowing this Word. And Lord, we're so thankful for not only the ability to read it and hear it, but the ability to receive it into our spirit and into our soul and in our mind. And Father, I pray that you'll let it become meat on the bones, so to speak. Let us be able to take this word into our heart and receive it, God, engrafted plumb down into the soul. And Lord Jesus, we would be able to manifest what is going to be laying before us as a challenge from your word. And it's not a challenge we're unfamiliar with. It's not a challenge we haven't heard before. But Lord, help us as we renew our minds in this direction. Help us know how to apply it in the coming days. Give me the ability to get out of the way that I might be used of you. Open the hearts and the minds of the channel of the thinking and so forth of the people listening here and abroad, that the Holy Ghost would just be mindful of them, and that, Lord, they'd be able to receive it, Lord, with sweetness and with the seasoning of grace and mercy upon it. And thank you, Lord, for the reading of the word. Now, Lord, I pray that you will allow me now, just give my words power to bind that judgmental, critical spirit. Lord, I know it'll be laying right above the people, trying to condemn them, make them feel bad, remind them of things that would make it seem contrary. But I condemn that thing before it moves. In the name of Jesus Christ, give your children freedom tonight, Lord, that we can receive it with purity of heart in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Just want to say what a privilege it is to be back in the house of God. As always, thank you to Brother Joseph for allowing us to come. Remember our pastor, this week would be good, not just today, but through the week, as we're celebrating, as I understand it, the passing of Sister Hammond. It's been a year. It's hard to believe it's been that long. I was just in Toronto December preaching right in the home church there, and I didn't even mention it to Brother Joseph because I thought, well, I didn't have the heart to even say I was heading toward that place. Anybody knows that, you know, when you lose a mother or a father and things like that, it's pretty tough. But, you know, this is a little bit of an extra thing, because when you're a Christian like that and you go, it's a real blessing to know that. Yeah. Blessed are they that die in Christ, really. But, you know, the human part lays there. And so we're certainly praying for all the girls, the family, and everybody. And we trust the Lord to bless you. Genuinely, and as we've been holding our brother Jonathan in prayer as well, and all the rest of you, and I trust you've been praying for me too. I've been pounding the pavement, and as I stand here before you tonight, I am so tired. I don't know how to hold my head up, but I don't let that get you down. I'm still able to go five services in a row just like this right here. You'll get tired way before I will, but I feel it. I feel it for sure, and certainly need the prayers of the saints. And I want to pass this to you before we enter into the message. Come the third week of February, I've got it confirmed now, I'm returning to Uganda for a convention there. We're going to be dedicating a church and ordaining some ministers, and there's some other things going on. And I'm going with a few brethren from Canada, a place that I just come from just a few months ago. So if you will, keep that in prayer that the Lord will help us there. And I'm not going a long time. I'm just going to be there for about 4 days meeting, then coming home. Somebody said, what are you doing that for? I said, because I'm a 46-year-old man and a 95-year-old body, and I can't take them long trips anymore. And I'm just going to just go for the main meeting and then come back. And so if the Lord will give us the grace to be able to do it, we want to try to be in the service of the Lord. There are a lot of wonderful things coming. The pastor that's there, he's a real nice man, nice brother. I've met him many times before and saw him in Uganda my last trip there. And so we're just going to trust the Lord for a great meeting. You know, it's not always about winning souls. Sometimes it's about taking the souls that are won and building them up, supporting them, and helping them get further. Amen. So we love you. God bless you and appreciate you tonight. And sure enjoy all of the singing and the music, and it blesses your heart to be able to worship the Lord. And I certainly thank God for the reading of the Bible, because, you know, as we say, the Word of God, the Bible, is our roadmap. And if there's one thing that I can genuinely say about the Bible, is that it can hold some of the strangest, oddest truths that are so applicable to today, versus other books that you might read them and they'll talk about transportation or science or something like that, and take even 20 years and go back and look at that book, you wouldn't want to refer to it at all. I mean, everything's been disproven and it's wrong and it's upside down and backwards and all that. But imagine how timeless what we just read is. The fact that Jesus would refer to believing Christians, to those that would be God's children, and then pair together persecution. I mean, really, you would think, well, isn't there a spot where in the Christian walk where somebody would just say, hey, can't we all just get along? And then it would come to an end? No. Satan has been fighting the believer since before time began. Before Adam was created, before Eve was placed on the earth, before there even was a Garden of Eden, Satan purposed within himself to begin a battle that he was going to hold to the very last moment of his existence. And even if you watch as he comes to the end of the White Throne Judgment, he goes into the to the regions of the lost for 1,000 years, bound by a chain of circumstances, which that chain, Brother Bram said, is that there was nobody to work through because everything dies that would be evil before the millennium in the Battle of Armageddon. But then when he comes out, now mind you, he's been bound 1,000 years, Brother Jonathan, but when he comes out of hell, he comes out fighting just like a man who has not eaten for months and months and months, and you pull him to the front door of a buffet. He comes out of there and gets as many subjects at the second resurrection as he can and raises up a battle immediately against God. This is what we call Gog and Magog at the end of that millennium time. Now, Satan is ambitious when it comes to fighting God and anything that is related to God. Now, you and I did not choose the warfare. You and I did not choose to come down here in time and be placed in the middle of this battle. And young people, listen to Brother Ben. This is one reason why Christianity is so confusing at your time of life. Because you hear mom and dad, or you hear the preacher, you hear somebody say how joyous and wonderful Christianity is. But then there's this other side, the persecution, the lying, the backbiting, the backstabbing, and all of the stuff that goes on with it. And then people think in their mind, especially if you're not trained and if you're not taking time to read your Bible and stay in church and understand the things of God, people and even adults, Christians that have been saved for a long time, begin thinking that there's something wrong either with them, with God, the Word, the church, and they start looking for blame somewhere. Then we hear Brother Bram say things like, remember, it's not your brother, but it's a spirit on your brother, right? And then we think, oh, yeah, sure, it's the devil. That guy, that girl, she's just mean-spirited. And, you know, she was raised that way. Yes, that may be true. And you may be able to assign some blame to raising and environment and culture and just being plain mean and ornery. But go back further than that. Before she was on this earth, or he was on this earth, trace it all the way back before Adam and Eve, and keep going back to the originator of all of this, and you'll find out Satan has been at the very helm of this ship for a long, long time. And he knows how to make your experiences, your background, your raising, your environment, and all of that work against you, against your nature. He knows how many demons to assign at your doorstep on a daily basis to get you in a bad mood. I know some of the little Murfreesboro angels down here have never been in a bad mood, so I'll just preach for them poor people that stream the services, okay? And y'all just keep your halos shined up real nice tonight. But I know that sometimes, and I know it's hard to believe, but I get in a bad mood. I smile big, but sometimes I don't feel like smiling big. Sometimes I get aggravated. Sometimes I get bothered and get trouble. And that's not the time as a believer to allow your humanity to keep you pressed down. You see, you may get angry. You may lose your temper. You may say the wrong thing, but it's not the falling down. It's how you get back up and approach that thing when all the dust settles. This is something you've got to learn as a believer, that once you make that mistake, don't just wallow in that thing. Start looking for a way to come back out of that mess and find victory somewhere down the road. Because God promised us that a man, if he fell 70 times a day, if he fell time and time again, he said, I will uphold him. Hallelujah. I will uphold him with my right hand. And remember, this is the very scripture in Psalm when he said that your footsteps are ordered of the Lord. Read the next verse. The very next words. Though he fall, I'll uphold him with my right hand. It's not the falling that's the problem. It's how you get back up. Remember that. When you come to this altar, or you're in a camp meeting somewhere, or you go to some of these youth camps, and you go to that altar, get this out of your mind, that you're solving every problem you got right there. To win a battle is not a one-time moment. It's not a, I'm going to say sorry and it's over with. To win that fight, whatever you fell to, whatever mistake you made, you've got to take it on a daily basis. Every day of your life, you've got to start taking that thing seriously and approaching it from an aspect of, I'm going to fight it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a month from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. I'm going to fight until I win. That's the only kind of determination that's going to get you through it. Yes. Forgive this remark. This is going to be so strong and sound so critical against ministers and things. But this is one thing that gets under my skin as quickly as anything when it comes to a preacher. That whole get saved, get delivered quick stuff. Yep. I don't believe in get rich quick schemes. And I don't believe in get delivered quickly schemes. There's too much working against your history. Only when you are fighting something that you'll never be able to overcome. Brother Greg, that's when God comes and takes it from you in a moment. But the majority of the stuff we fight, he knows it'll take years to really get the kind of victory in our lives. Come on, somebody preach to me. That we need to overcome it fully. So what do I do when I go to the altar? What am I doing? I'm asking God to give me the strength. I'm in a spot. I'm in a moment where I need some supernatural, amen, some octane. I need some strength to be able to get up and really go after this thing in the days to come. Don't look for an automatic boom and everything's solved. When you come with that attitude, 99% of the time it'll never happen the way you believe it. Because God don't operate that way. If you think he does, why do you reckon he wants us to come to church over and over and over again? If it's just that simple, one and done, why don't we just have one big Sunday morning? We'll have Sunday morning service. On Sunday morning, this will be the great coronation of everything the bride needs. Then we'll just eat, drink, and be merry. Some of y'all are going to do that anyhow, but I'm just giving you an out. Why does he want us to return back the next day? Why does it keep coming and keep reading your Bible? Why did Brother Bam say read and pray every day? Because this is how these battles are won. Not one and done. It's an every day. Take up your cross and fight it every single day. I know that there are going to be people in this world that will go to the altar and God will wonderfully deliver them. That's true. But what he really does is not so much deliver them from it. He gives them the strength that they can fight that thing with a great feeling or surge of victory power, and they can fight it every day, and it never overcomes them again the majority of the time. Amen. Watch now. Leading into Matthew 5. So then, why is it that part of the Christian experience then is this idea of persecution? If we have a fight from the devil, isn't that enough just to fight spirits? Or to fight, you know, perhaps evil thoughts coming through our mind? Isn't it enough to fight depression? To fight emotional dysregulations and, you know, up today and down tomorrow? Is that not enough just to wake up with the devil squawking in your ear like a little chihuahua dog? Y'all have him that way too, I see. I mean, is that not enough, Brother Jonathan, for us just to endure that? But now we have to enter into a place of persecution. Not from just Satan, but listen close, but from people who look and act and talk and speak and behave like you do. You see, if I was face to face with the devil, I would have no question in my mind. You don't like me, and I certainly don't like you. But what do you do when that same evil spirit is now in the form of your brother or your sister? What do you do when that same spirit looks like your mama? Or your daddy? Oh, Brother Ben, you calling my mama a devil? I'm just saying devils can move on mamas the same as they can daddies. Right. pastors, grandkids. Hello. Satan will move on anybody. He'll move on an animal, he's so low down. God won't, but Satan will move on an animal. Some of you that's raised dogs and things like that, you can tell when an animal gets some kind of a little evil thing on it. You see it? You see a change in them. I knew a brother one time, he was out looking at some things he was raising, and he was breeding some dogs, and this one old thing started running toward me, and he said, never acts like that. And that old boy, he pointed his finger, I said, Satan, come out of that dog. And it went right back into the kennel. I'd never seen nothing like that. And you know, Satan will move in such a deceiving manner that if you're not careful, you will fall prey to his great plan, his great scheme, which is what? To blend together the evil that he is with the godliness, the sweetness, and the wonderfulness, if that even is a word. I'm a doctor, I'm allowed to invent words now, you know that. All of that can look like somebody you love, and yet Satan be mixed in right through that. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all still want to be the children of God? We're going to dig into it now, I guarantee. Now, Jesus is saying this to the Israelites because the Jews had the mentality of justice. Now, this is the idea of the Old Testament, that an eye for an eye. In other words, equality. Now, forgive me, I know speaking in a mixed audience, this is kind of it's not really a good thing sometimes for a white man to say these things. But I'm just going to be as honest as I can when I say that sometimes the Laodicean idea of equality, especially a man saying it, but the idea of equality is not always a godly one. Because remember, when the woman fell in the Garden of Eden, God made the man her ruler. Now, I don't care what modern day Jezebel, dog meat, this, that, and the other, you can say all of the rough things you want to say. I don't care what modern day women say. God said the man would be her Lord, and that's the Bible. I don't care if you're in the Pergamos age, the Thyatiran age, the Ephesian age, Laodicean age, the word is the word. And whether we like it or not, prophets like Brother Branham are not always the only authority in the body of Christ. Now, our tape people will tell you the opposite. To them, there's only one voice, there's only one authority, and that was Brother Branham. Unfortunately, Brother Branham didn't believe that himself, because when he went beyond the curtain of time, he nodded to the higher authority, which was Paul. I preached exactly what Paul preached. And Paul said, if anyone, prophet, priest, king, whoever he might be, preach anything contrary, let that man be accursed. In heaven, the angels have different degrees. The Zooms, the Seraphims, the Cherubims, they all have different orders within that community. Brother Bram tells us that Harvest Day 1964, that he called them degrees of different angels and categories of angels that are laid out in a manner that one will be higher than the other. See, this is where Lucifer, when he fell, he had great ability because he was made the highest amongst that angelic community. But remember that all of us sitting here in the house of God, the Bible said that even though some would be called to be an apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, and pastor, and those men, would be called of God to preach, it is not permitted for a woman to take part in business meetings with men and the church affairs or to preach the gospel. Here or on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram or any other pulpit she chooses. Well, hallelujah. I just heard friend requests going, bleep, 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 bleep. Now, I'm not throwing that at none of you here. The point I'm making is everything has an order of subjection. You take what Brother Joseph has been preaching here at the church for the family series. and how that he speaks of the man being the divine order of the head of the house. Now, that is something that God instituted into the home. I have no say over that. You have no say over that. You may not like your idiot husband who has no education and you think you're smarter than him. It doesn't matter. God didn't say the man is the head if he's smart. He didn't say he was the head if he was good with money. He didn't say he was the head if he was the most spiritual one of the house. It said he was the head, period. And you know, folks, things would go a whole lot easier and you'd have a whole lot less trouble if you just find how to work within God's system than fight it every day trying to be more spiritual than the next guy. Or girl, or woman, or something, however I'm preaching, somebody's in there. Now you think about this divine order, the way that God set this out. Now the Israelites had this mentality of equality. If someone takes your eye, you go back and take the other eye. To them, everyone had to be on the same footing. When you watch those men raising up against Moses and saying, you're not the only holy one in here. What they were doing was what Laodiceans do. I don't need to listen to no preacher. I don't need no pastor to go on the rapture. I don't need to be evangelized or apostled or prophetic or any or taught. I don't need any of that. I can go on the rapture without these stupid preachers. Except for one thing. You can't. If you are not under a God-called pastor, you will never be ready for the rapture. I don't care who gets mad at that or who don't get mad at that. That is absolutely thus saith the Lord. The word is what perfects the bride. You get the perfection from the blood of Christ, but you come to the church to hear that bloody word preached to you. Men with gifts of God, fivefold ministry that can take that word and lay it out there in front of you and help you find your position in Christ. Correct the error of the day. Straighten out the things that are wrong and place together those things you need to get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. People run around, I ain't got no pastor. We met a guy some years ago, Jonathan knows who I'm talking about. He come to the church there in Manchester and said, this is my 17th pastor. I thought, oh God. When people don't want to fall in subjection to the order of God, it will create a rebellion in those individuals. The husband will rebel against God, father against God, wife against husband, children against parents, on and on and on. But when the household, now listen close, and I'm not trying to preach another version of Brother Joseph's series, but I'm just hitting a couple things because it blends with this tonight. But when the household and the church and the rest of the body of Christ are fitly together, remember, Paul did not say that if you are an eye, you feed out there, do your best to become an eye. And if you're a finger, you do your very best to change, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You change and become an eyeball. He said, if you're a hand, be a hand. If you're a foot, be a foot. But he said, let all of us have our right place in the Lord. We don't have time to read it, but it's in the book of Corinthians. If you want to go back and look, if the foot shall say, I'm not the hand. He said, are you not part of the body? He said, then let us have love and patience and let's stay together that there be no schism. Not equality. Every preacher that's got a gift these days wants to become a pastor because they see the divine authority of every church is a pastor. Well, I got news for you. Not every man is called to be a pastor. And you know what? That's okay. If he's an evangelist or an apostle or a teacher or a prophet, that doesn't make him a lesser human being or a second-class citizen. I've seen him actually behave that way. You mean you're not a pastor? Well, not that I know of. The fact of the matter is everyone has to have their place. You see how that devil can start in? You mean you're just a housewife? But Paul said, don't do that. Find who you are. Amen. Glory. Stay there so that they all can fitly, he said, fitly work and join together. Hallelujah. That there be no schism in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. So then when we see schism come, separation, you know, it's always a hard thing when people have disagreements. A lot of the disagreement comes from a source of just being so bullheaded that one don't want to listen to the other. Well, I'm right and they're wrong and that's all. Well, nothing ever got solved by going to a corner and pouting and hoping that somebody would throw chocolate at you or some kind of incentive to get you out of the corner. Hello. Sometimes you got to open your mouth. Yes, men, I'm talking to you as much as I am the sisters. Amen. Some men, big and tough, can lift the back of a bus up with one hand, get their feelings hurt, and they go into survival mode, which usually means, subtitle, pout mode. But you see, whenever a person has an open heart and is willing to converse and reason, problems can often be solved very quickly when you have two people reasonable enough to listen to what the other one is saying and say to themselves, I could be wrong about this. I want to hear what they got to say. You'd be surprised. I've counseled people around the world in Waffle Houses around the country. And I'm telling you right now, when two people have the right reasonable attitude that they're willing to hear what the other one's got to say, and they're willing to say, I could be wrong on this, it is unbelievable. It's like light speed. It's almost like you can hear, you know, Captain Kirk saying, engage. I mean, it's remarkable how fast problems are solved. People have open hearts. Now, wonder why they wouldn't. You see, something the Lord's been dealing with me on. I realize that the older you become in Christ, that the older type of Christian that you become, or the longer that you spend time serving the Lord, that Satan knows that them little piddly, everyday little things here and there are not necessarily going to get you. You know, if you mess up and you're going down the road and somebody cuts you off and you get a little angry, you've got enough temperance now in your walk with God that you can get angry for a moment and sin not. I should have called him an idiot, but I'm doing better now. I know that poor old fellow was probably just in a push and didn't know what to do and just did what he did. So then your mind and your heart and your soul begin to develop to a place, glory, where you're controlling your world. You see, this is the very place of Godship. This is the majesty that God wants to hand down to sons and daughters of God, to kings and queens. The ability to not only govern your world, but control anything that comes into your kingdom. Just like Adam. Adam had the total ability. He could speak to a tree and move it there. He could speak to the lions and tell them to come his way. Whatever he wanted to control, the wind, the sun, the moon, the planets, the sun, everything was under his control. He was a master of his universe. But now when you see a change begin to move over people, now listen close. Many times when they start walking in a realm of, I don't know if I can handle this. This is too much for me. Now, you may never say this out loud, but the moment that you look at your bank account and he's already or she's already spent that extra money that you were counting on this week, immediately the self-talk goes crazy. Come on. And you start telling yourself everything in the world. If your mind could be displayed up on one of these screens up here, it'd be busier than New York City. Now you realize that Satan is watching this exchange. So he'll take today, he sees a little nugget today, he'll grab it and hold on to it. 2 or 3 days or 4 days or a week or a month will go by and he knows he ain't got nothing else to work with, and then he decides after about another few weeks, oh, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And Satan will work for months, weeks, years to set a trap for you. That instead of the little one, it'll be the big one that takes you down completely. Now, what we've got to be wise to is we've got to be wise to recognize those things that Satan are pulling on us on a daily basis. And you've got to monitor your life to make sure you don't let him have nothing. Because any little expression on your face, you better believe he's taking notes. You think you take notes in church to keep up with the preacher, to make sure that you've got the message in your heart for that week? Satan has been taking notes on you since the moment you made that first little wank. Right, yeah. Wank! Satan said, grab the book. He watches every move we make, setting traps for us. Now that sounds nice on paper for one person, but now what do you do when you got 40 people? That's just this church. Imagine if you could take a look at Satan's notebook, Brother Mark, for this week alone. On you, me, this one, that one, the rest of us. All of the notes that he's taken about you. And you know, as it is with research, when a person who's doing research gets a lot of information put together, they start looking for a theme. They look for things that agree together, and they look for a common thread. They find that thread that some people are aggravated or upset about dot, dot, dot. Or as my Chinese kids say, blah, blah, blah. And he sees this thread beginning to unfold itself. And the devil says, aha, I know exactly how to lay this plan. And you see, what I love about a God called pastor, God called preachers and men of God, usually about the time Satan thinks he's going to spring that trap, the Holy Ghost will fall on somebody about 5 in the morning or 2 in the night or some kind of thing, give them a message. The devil ain't got no idea what's coming. Then he'll walk to the platform with a double-edged sword and just blow that thing to bits. I mean, kerblooey, blow it plumb up. Satan can't get away with a whole lot in your homes if you're prayed up and watching for the trap. So then how does this work then into persecution? Well, you see, let's take, for example, your week at work. Maybe this week you've been feeling a little discouraged because you got some bad news. We see people that are not saved and accessible to the devil. Don't take them very long for a spirit to move on them. You could be going, let's say, to Walmart and checking out at the grocery with your groceries. And somehow, that one Walmart lady that always glares at me, I mean at you, will be there to check you out and say something nasty to you before you can even pull your wallet out to pay your bill. Why? Because the devil has been taking great notes on how to affect your life. Now here's the question. The million-dollar question is, why don't God stop it? Everybody ready? I'm not going to make you wait to the end for the answer. I'm going to tell you right now, okay? Ready? You need it. So do I. It is the very thing that shapes you and I into the very image of Jesus Christ. Let's go a little bit further than this. Ephesians Church Age. Brother Branham said, the true church will always try to be like the original at Pentecost. The true church of today will try to approximate the early first one, as the messengers of the church will have the same spirit as of God and try to approximate Paul. They won't be exactly like him, but a true messenger will be the one that comes, and he says, in three different manners, and they'll have all the same type of ministry, and they'll have all the same type of manifestations of God, staying with the word, avoiding denomination. So they'll have kind of a similarity of pattern. Now, we read this quote right here, and this is a great quote to read in a camp meeting if you want everybody to start shouting. We're going to be just like Pentecost. Immediately people start thinking, whoa, glory to God. I'm ready to cast out devils. I'm ready to raise the dead. Okay, amen. But what about in persecution? Are we ready to approximate, not be exactly like, but approximate daily persecution for the name of Jesus Christ like they did? This is the fourth time I've asked this question in a different church, and I get the same result. Interesting to me. Same answer every time. That's trending. I need to put that down. Make a note of that. Questions and answers. Now watch how this will change for us. Brother Brown, will the bride go through the persecutions as the early apostolic church did? He said, no, I just explained it a few minutes ago. The next thing is the rapture now. Remember, he said, we're at the promised land at the border. And he said, and you understand the march of Israel. Again, Feast of the Trumpets. You say the church has to go through the persecution for the perfection of it. No, the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. Somebody say amen. Amen, I believe that. A man who chooses a wife, don't put her through a lot of punishment. He's already found grace, too, with her. She has found grace with him. He engages to her, and if there is anything, he'll keep from her every place to turn her hand. That's old Southern talk where everywhere she goes, he's there to protect her. Amen. His grace is so great upon them. He said, now here in the calling out time at the sixth seal, when it is open, persecution struck the Jews. In the literal standpoint, in the literal standpoint, in the literal standpoint, church, we are not preparing bomb shelters and K rations and building up Walmart sales on waters and stocking up ready for a nuclear bomb. Brother, I don't plan on ever having to go down into a bomb shelter. I'm making plans to go up. Amen. I'm not looking to have to endure the tribulation period. My plan is the sky, not down underneath the ground. Amen. He went down under so that I could go up and you could go up. Praise the Lord. He said, and here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint. Because the bride is already called. So, the persecution we face has nothing to do with bomb shelters. And tell me, why are people in this message so ignorant of this prophet's message? To where they run around thinking about, when they talk about the squeeze, people think that we're going to be standing in soup lines. They're convinced that the bride, they're going to shut all of our churches down and make them storehouses. I agree that will happen in the tribulation period. God ain't going to put this elected through such things. We're not going to be lined up starving to death. And we may get caught in that crossover time when things are moving on that side and we're going to be caught for a moment. But God ain't going to leave us down here begging bread. We're his seed. And this is not our persecution type. The type of persecution that we'll approximate comes by, ready? Ready? Everybody ready? Religion. And it's more deadly than lions. There's a whole lot of lying that goes on with that one too. Watch this, and door to the heart, Brother Bram says, any famous picture, before it can become famous, must go through the hall of critics. You know, websites, believe the signs, seek ye the truth, and on and on and on. I appreciate these guys. I know you heard me right, boys. I appreciate them to this end. The more they persecute me, the closer my ticket to being punched in the Hall of Fame is coming down my road. If folks can take that as a challenge if they want to. All I've got to stand and say is just watch my daddy work. Wait till my daddy is done with me and you. Wait till he's done with this bride. Wait till she's come to that total place of the manifestation of the sons of God. When that hour arrives, there won't be a word that can be spoke against you or I. Jesus will be the showdown between all of this and that. But any picture, before it can genuinely be accepted, must pass through critics. You know, to become a doctor of something, you write what they call a dissertation or a thesis. It's just basically the same exact thing. You have a committee, you have committee members, you have a chair, you have critics that will take your work and tear it apart. Now that I'm on the other side of the fence, I'm a mentor to potential doctors. I work with different colleges on occasions. This is something I really enjoy doing, being able to travel and take it with me. And it's kind of my time to do the kicking. Whereas I was the kicky, now I am the kicker. A little revenge never hurt nobody every now and then. And you know, the thing that you got to understand is that I have seen grown men, CEOs of business, that their bottom line was beyond north of $10 million every year. And I've seen these hawks, these Arnold Schwarzeneggers, sat in a classroom and cry like a baby because all the work they did was not accepted. Oh, I hope you're listening to me tonight. If a man or a woman judging another man and woman could bring somebody to that emotional state, what do you think it's going to be for you? When you get up on that certain morning and there's a certain thing going on in your life and you feel lower than a snake's belly. But you know what happened? You went through the hall of critics that week. And all that good Christian work that you thought you were doing has been scrutinized to the nth. Anybody other than me just come to church and feel like, why did Brother Joseph just choose to preach on me tonight? He should have just dismissed everybody in the church and let me come. I'd sit on the front row and say, man, just preach to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What is that? Hall of critics. Not that Brother Joseph is a critic now, but taking the word, we judge ourselves by the word. The word is always positive. But God knows it always takes the negative side to bring out the good that the positive can't. Woo, somebody be preaching to me right now. It took the devil to express everything that was in God. Satan was made in a manner that he could express things, pull things out of God, that the great supernatural being himself, Elohim, could not produce. You see, before he could hang his great masterpiece in the Hall of Arts, he had to go through every critic. And who criticized him? Not just the church, people on the street and every which way. Remember that time when that little crippled up fella come by and spit on David? David said, let him alone. The Lord told him to do that. He may not have understood it then, but if David's listening to me now, I'm sure he understands. Before he could have been placed in God's hall, he would have had to go through that criticism. Listen again. Brother Bram says they have to go through a hall of critics. I've often thought about the church. Before God can ever take his church in the rapture, it has to pass through the hall of critics. Do you not understand how important this is? If you never cast out devils, if you never speak with tongues, if you never see an angel of the Lord, if you never experience any supernatural powers of God, that's mind-blowing. There's one thing you will partake in. And all of us, A-L-L, must go through this hall. God, help us, Jesus. Listen to this again. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and then they had called the apostles and beaten them. How many wants to be the approximation of the first church now? Let me see your hand, please. Oh, fourth church I preach this to. Fourth church didn't raise their hands either. Why do I have mine up? Dummy. Why is that? Because to us, persecution is the stuff in Christianity we're trying to figure out how to do it without. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is it is persecution, beatings, peril, sword, famine. It is essential. to your walk with God. You'll never go without it. So let me, you say, Brother Ben, that puts me in a place. What am I supposed to do? Oh, I got you on some shouting ground. For you that have suffered depression, for you that have went through mind battles, for you that have experienced all kinds of ups and downs with family and have felt low and the outcast and the black sheep and on and on and on, for you that have had troubles and problems and every which way, for the sake of Christ, not because we're dumb and done things on our own that we're paying for, but for the cause of Jesus Christ, it ought to make you raise your hands up and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you found me worthy that I could go through persecution and go through hell on this earth. You knew that we would stand. You knew that we would go through the fire and come out the other side like pure gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It ought to make a joy burst out of your heart to know that God found you worthy of such a vocation. Listen to this. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council and got on YouTube and did a video. Got on Facebook and told their neighbor. Got on Twitter and tweeted. Twits tweeting. Went through all of the public outrage. Got in the streets with picket signs demanding equality. No Christian follows the trends of the world. I don't care if it be race. I don't care if it be money. I don't care if it be fashion. No Christian follows the trends of the world, be it a white man or any other kind of man. We're interested in heaven, not abortion laws, not tax things and Congress things. Come on, preach to me if you got the guts. We've laid too much upon those things. And what has it done? Right in our very own churches. It's caused race wars. It's caused gender wars. You might as well say, man, I'm preaching it anyhow. Whether you do or not, I'm coming on with it anyhow. It's caused all kinds of schisms amongst us. When it's not white or black or red or purple or green, you are my brother if you've got the Holy Ghost. You are my sister if you've got the Holy Ghost. If you're an eye, you're an eye. If you're a foot, you're a foot. You are a part of him. You're a part of me. But Satan wants to divert your attention away from the purpose behind the persecution. Oh, somebody write that down. That was good. Satan. Jesus is a good preacher, boy. I love to hear him preach. Satan wants to divert your attention away from the purpose of the persecution. Why did God let these men go through that? Because he said, as I have suffered and be hated, so will you. Oh, glory. So you see, if everybody likes you all the time, chances are you may need a little more Jesus in your life. I'll be nice there, Brother Greg. I could have been a whole lot harder than that. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. This word beaten means to flay, to skin, thrash, smite. So this wasn't just a, like some kind of whipping you got in school with the board, right, John? We've all experienced those moments. I probably would have had more of them if my little redheaded mother had one up and threatened to kill somebody if they touched me again. But I probably sure needed them. But these men were being beaten in such a manner to where that it would take them months, and Paul never healed up from some of it. History records that because of the way the tendons and the things in his back grew together, Paul eventually became a hunchback like this. When he stood there before Agrippa, imagine him, when he said, "Oh, Agrippa." He couldn't hardly even move his arms and legs and what more because he had been beaten so many times for the cause of Christ. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Watch as Paul's life develops. To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he will earn in money and popularity for my name. But the things he will suffer. You know where we get the word excruciating? The root word of excruciating comes from cross, as in the cross of Christ. The Romans had learned how to agonize and torture the human body in such a manner that they could keep a man at death for hours at a time. That's why they would pin their legs in such a way to when they went down, every nerve and muscle and everything was put in pressure, and they would hurt that way and suffocate. And then when they would try to stand up this way to breathe, it would hurt even worse than it was going down. So they never, ever found a place of peace. And there was no morphine, y'all. No Oxycontin, no none of those kind of things. No painkillers of any kind. There wasn't no Tylenol, Advil, or nothing. This was suffering at its worst. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Can I go a little bit further? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many can say amen to that? And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs. If so be that we... Isn't that interesting? It didn't say, if so be we could create squirrels. If so be we could speak to storms. If so be that we could give missing limbs back to people. If so be that we could create eyeballs and ask what color eyes they want. You see, the real mark of William Branham, this goes to the critics and the rest of them. The real mark of William Branham's ministry had nothing to do with the supernatural that was produced. The real mark of the man's ministry was the fact that 60 years after he's been dead, stupid people are still picking on him. Ignorant people who have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to spiritual things are still aggravating and saying mean things and persecuting William Branham. The man's been dead 60 years. Why do you care? The real mark was what he suffered. That's one reason I follow him. Because I've met people and preachers that couldn't even lace up the man's shoes when it comes to staying power in Jesus Christ. They get aggravated if the preacher goes 10 minutes too long, or if so-and-so preached, or they had to go visit a revival and so-and-so didn't get to sing. Big bunch of babies kicking and pouting and screaming and carrying on. Take your life, ever who you are, and put it next to William Branham and tell me that you understand his true ministry. Amen. Words amen in case y'all forgot it. I know. Notice the word that he uses here for suffer. To suffer or feel pain together. When I first found this some months ago, when the Lord was dealing with me on preaching this way, I found the meaning of this word and I thought, now isn't that interesting? So you're not suffering individually. It's not an individual thing, y'all. You're suffering together. Yeah, that's the one thing the COVID people had, right? We were alone together and we are suffering together. To feel pain together, to suffer evils, troubles, and persecutions in like manner with another. Do you understand? This is the only way you can truly bear someone else's burden. You've got to go through it yourself.
and you've got to feel it like they feel it in order. Glory to God. In order to be able to suffer with them, to support them, to pray for them, and help them find a place of victory, you've got to feel that yourself. That's why when these preachers get up here and talking about supernatural, we had a preacher in Manchester many years ago who's totally backslid now. Don't bother me a bit if he hears this. He needs to hear it if he hears it. Get up and holler about the gifts, the gifts, the gifts, the gifts, the gifts. And I finally sat him down one day and I said, hey, buddy, you ever spoke in tongues? Well, no. You ever prophesied? Well, no. Interpreted? No. Anytime you know the gift of wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, any of those things ever work in your life? No, I can't say they have, Brother Ben. I said, then you need to shut up until you do. Because a minister must be a partaker of the first fruits before he preaches it to you. So easy to give people advice. Tell them what they should do when they're having problems, isn't it? Easy to tell them how to handle it. But how much different is it when you've been there? And then you hear they're going through it. Then your advice isn't, oh, just get over it. You'll be okay. Your advice changes. Honey, I know what you're going through. I know the pain that you're feeling. I'm here to pray for you. You know why? Once you've walked there, now you've got the experience, the t-shirt, or whatever else you got to be able to help that. Oh, God, somebody help me preach. To help that person get on the other side of what the devil is attacking them with. Don't you understand? This is why the bride can be one body. Because we don't just rejoice together. We don't just shout together. We don't just sing together. We suffer together. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. We've got a token. They've got a token. You know what some of their token is? Their evident token? Persecution against you. When a man or woman speaks against the Spirit of God on a child of God, they have sealed their fate, and only ignorance will save them from God writing them off and marking them down as being nothing anymore. That's why we should always be careful what kind of stories we receive about people. Oh, I know. I know when I first come to Murfreesboro 5 years ago, some of you people here probably heard everything in the world. And I could probably say, I can go ahead and tell you right now, 99% of it is probably nothing but a pack of lies. I still hear stuff. You know why people tell stories? Because I preach like this to them. I put them in the hot seat. They don't like that. They don't want somebody telling them that they got to live right. How dare he look me in the eyeball when he preaches? And they expect to make a rapture with such an attitude? If you can't take hard preaching, how are you going to take hard persecution? If you can't take the gospel being laid in your lap and told the truth and lay it right there for you to receive it, how in the world are you ever going to overcome the devil? Sure. Brother Joseph and I first sat down. Him and I made a pact. I said, look, buddy, we've been in this area together almost 20 years now. I said, I know you heard things about me, and I'm sure I've heard things about you too. But I promise you this. There won't be a place that I go that won't hear the opposite if it comes across my desk. And he said, Brother Ben, I'll be the same way. You know what's amazing? Somehow, them little stories just disappeared. Isn't that amazing? Some of the people that were telling them stories actually picked up the telephone. I know. And apologized. I know. But don't folks realize what they're doing when they do something mean to you? Listen at the words of Jesus if you're having a hard time swallowing this. He said, in so much as you have done it, good or bad, to the least of these my little ones, you have done it unto me. And it would be better for a big stone hung by your neck and drown it in the sea than to offend one of those little God's children like that. We should always be careful what we say, what we receive, what we hear. Why? Because Satan knows if he can put schism there. Listen. If he can put schism there, when the suffering time comes, and it will, then you do it by yourself. And one of Satan's greatest tools is isolation. Divide and conquer. If y'all don't realize, that's the Nicolaitan spirit by definition. Divide and conquer. Why do you think he tries to keep people out of church? Why do you try to discourage them from coming to the house of the Lord? Listen, if you can't make it, at least keep up with the messages and stream. I know, streaming is about like getting a square of cardboard and chewing on it and calling it a saltine cracker. I know it don't have the same zing, but at least keep up with the message. Keep your faith alive. Amen. Amen. Satan knows if he can get you discouraged for any reason. It don't even have to be a bad one, just a legitimate one. Keep you at home, keep you separated. When the suffering time comes, you have nobody to reach out to. And there is power in prayer. Power to share. But to you of salvation and that of God, for unto you, verse 29, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only on to not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. How? Yeah, right. Not because you were dumb and made a dumb decision and now you're living with it. Separate the two now. Whenever you do dumb, you're going to pay for it in dumber. Come on. Now, if it's for the cause of Christ, so be it. Then God will take care of the other end of it. Whatever you reap, you'll sow it. Or vice versa, you sow it, you'll reap it. I don't know, sometimes it comes so bad, maybe you are reaping and sowing the other way around. Notice again in the Ephesian church age, now listen to this. When they're cursing you, they're bringing God's blessings down on you. Amen. It backfires on them, like they did Balaam one time. It backfired. They try to make fun of you being a Christian. It will backfire on them. God gives a blessing because blessed are you when men shall persecute you for my name's sake. Amen. Blessed are you. So just remember, when they're coming against you, just say, ooh, goody, goody, goody. Woo, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. Because if they're going to curse you and it's for his name's sake, God will use it for your benefit. He'll bless you through the whole thing. Friends, why do we get this idea in our head? Somebody lied to me. Somebody cheated me. If they did it for the sake of Christ, just hold still. You don't have to fight. God will take care of the other side of you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All right, now I'm going to test you now. Right now comes the test. You've had all of the lecture. You've been given the homework. Now comes the test. Let's see if you pass the test. Ready? Everybody ready? Got your pencils? Got your paper? Don't turn them over until the teacher says now. All that will live godly in Christ... Really? Well, where's the blessings at? Where's tongues, interpretation, prophecy, raising the dead? Where's all that at? Where's the revival meeting, Brother Mark, with a Hammond organ wide open and singing 100 miles an hour? Where's all that shouting at? All that live godly in Christ. You realize, friends, this is just as much prophecy for you and me as the coming of the Lord is. It's just as much prophecy as the coming of Malachi 4:5 was to you and I. This will be this way. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brother Branham said, now get away from this sense-bound existence. God help us. Lift up your head. Redemption is drawing nigh. Signs and wonders appearing. Critics, infidels, wax worse and worse. Look what Brother Branham said. We got to put up with them. Woo! Talk about a revival sermon. Got your shouting shoes on now? Because you know, some preachers try to leave with you the impression that once you start serving God, it's like you're in this invisible bubble and nobody bad, mean, ugly, indifferent ever comes to you. The truth is, if you are a godly person, you're the one the critic, the infidel, and the rest of them are looking for. And they don't even realize sometimes they're doing it, Brother Jonathan. Sometimes it's that devil on them, that spirit on them, trying to get at you through them.
That's right.
Amen. Friends, don't you realize? The very week that you've served God in, here we are Wednesday night, 2023. The very week you served God in, at the beginning of this week, somebody on the street could have said something nasty to you. And then a Christian telling a simple little funny or joke or poking at someone could repeat word verbatim what that critic said. And there'd be such a deep hurt, you wouldn't even know it. That's why we must be so careful. And not just say things flippantly. Remember, when we walk through those doors, you are looking at soldiers who have been in fights all month long. Let me quit here. Time's gone. I'd like to go on, but I can't. He said, remember, church, you're living in the best days you'll ever live in right now until Jesus comes. It shall gradually, not gradually, but rapidly get worse and worse. People say, if the message was true, why are our churches so small? Why are they so divided? Well, I don't know. Let's ask the Ephesian church. There's only 12 of them. Huh. Let's ask the Smyrnians. Oh, that's right. Most of them were burned at the stake, fed to lions, sawn asunder. I'd like to visit some of their graves, except for where did they put lion feces when they were done with it? Where did they put the ashes of saints they burnt when they were done with them? I don't know where the memorial's at, do you? You see, if we got the wrong idea about what it's supposed to look like, then you come into a church like this and you see all this empty space in here. You hear about this rumor and that rumor, and this one's fighting against that one's got this problem that way, and then you start going, that's what the devil does. He loves that. Oh, if the church was only spiritual. And what is your definition of spiritual? Because if we're under an attack and people are being attacked and people are in chaos, well, that looks like a pretty good church to me. That's the one I want to be a part of. Oh, God, some of y'all thought I was crazy. Now you know I am. But based on this, Brother Pat, if the church is being persecuted, that means God is with them. Thank God for godly men, a pastor, and so on and so forth, that knows how to settle the sheep. That's why you need God-called men like that. If you don't have them, the sheep will do anything. You parents should have been hollering, amen! Because you know what it's like when your kids aren't governed. Some of y'all so scared of them, you didn't even want to say amen. Watch this last statement. The man said, there's only one place that I've ever seen in my life that I thought was any worse than the streets and the things as I've been in our own nation. We're not getting any better. 1354. Anybody want to do any math here? Think of how many years now since Brother Branham uttered these words. Are we better or are we worse? Well, the seals are open, right? Thunders have sounded. Seven seals, that's mostly historical, right? Bride knows who she is. We got message churches. Fivefold ministry, we had a prophet. His picture taken. We do recognize our day and its message. Got message songs, message people.
Come on,
We got signs and wonders, true. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, raising the dead, wisdom, faith. feel like I'm leaving something out, Brother Greg. What are we missing then? Well, if we got all the supernatural part, reckon what we're missing. Thinking right now, what do I do with a sermon like this? Glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. You pray. You talk to the Lord. You tell him, say, God, I know this is coming my way, has been coming my way, or will come my way. And Lord Jesus, I know that I cannot keep my own feet. Sister Wanda, I don't have the ability. Cameron, I don't have the strength to put one foot in front of Brother Pat. I can't do it on my own. And it'll take more than just me. And it'll take more than just God. Because I know what you're thinking. Well, God will help me. God is not going to bear every burden when he gave that job to all of us. I can't do it alone. I need help to be able to make the next step. I need you praying for me. I need you holding me up before the Lord. You wake up in the middle of the night and I come on your heart, you know I need it. Because I cannot do what I do by myself. You know what kills me? 32 years this summer, June. 32 years I've been a minister of the gospel. You know what kills me? Around the world is the same thing. No matter the color, the race, the gender, whoever they are. When people get in trouble for whatever reason, pride, arrogance, I don't know, they refuse to ask for help. I hear doctors say that sometimes, medical doctors, people I meet on planes and traveling in different spots and folks that I know myself, and they'll say, you know, I don't understand why people wait until they're dead in the emergency room with diabetes or blood pressure or something else to come ask me for help. All they had to do is come to my office. I could have given them an examination. Could have caught that cancer early if they would have just told me something was going on. Now, friends, I realize we're private people. By human nature, there's a lot of stuff we don't want to say to somebody. I get that. But what would be wrong with you going to someone and saying, would you mind holding me up in prayer today? You don't have to know the reason. But the moment you hear them say that, immediately, you should kick into that soldier gear, like the Romans did with their shields. Their shields were so tall they would link them together. They called it the door. They'd make this big wall, and nobody could penetrate those defenses because the moment they were being attacked, they go, boom! They put those shields together, and nobody could get a wedge in between. Nobody could put a schism in between them. God, help me to be the kind of man that if you write me or call me or catch me outside and say, Brother Ben, pray for me. God, help me to get my shield and go and get shoulder to shoulder with you to fight the devil away from your life. Bow your heads with me. Tried my best not to be lengthy, but I have been a little bit. So I'm going to try really hard not to prolong here. Friends, I haven't preached anything to you that's foreign, unknown. Everything you've heard me say, these are common occurrences happening in your life. You know, You know what you're going through. You know what battle you're facing. You know what you're up against right now. But I want you to stop and examine your heart for just a minute. Because at the end of the day, here's the scripture that needs to be tacked on to all of this preaching. Don't be weary in well-doing. Because when you're under pressure, when people are saying things, when stuff is happening, health problems are coming and financial burdens are mounting up and emotional things, mental things, when that pill isn't working anymore, or that shot doesn't have the power it used to, or that x-ray come out worse than the last one did, or the A1C isn't supposed to be like what it was. Or that boy you thought was doing so good, now he's three times as bad as he was. Don't be weary in well-doing. Let me quote you Peter's words, the one who had the key to heaven. Beloved, think it not a strange thing when you fall into divers temptations. Because this is what will purify your faith like gold. Now, with your heads bowed and you thinking upon where you're at, don't you think right now would be a good time just to ask Him, Lord, help me adjust my focus. Help me to refocus, to take my focus and put it right back in the best perspective, to put it back in the right manner, to look at these things in a different way. And I'm telling you, friends, if you've got something in your heart against someone in this church, someone in some other church, or some other place somewhere else, or somebody else, some sinner, anything in your heart at all, get it out of there right quick. Because Satan will do his best to isolate you with the silliest and simplest little things. Don't you let him do it. So you just confess it to him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry for my attitude. Sorry for my feelings. Sorry for the way that I've allowed myself to get sucked into them arguments or roped into those little things. Help me, Lord, to turn my cheek, to pray for those that use me and say all manner of evil against me. If they're mean spirit, help me, God, to pray for them. Because if it is your brother and sister, don't you realize when you pray for them, you're helping them fight a battle that you may not know they're fighting. They may be treating you or somebody else that way because they're in the middle of something. Your prayer may be the only thing that turns it around. Some people look at this stuff as being a weakling, a coward. But in the eyes of God, never has there been a person with more power than he or she that can turn their cheek to evil and return good for evil, love for hate. You know what your prophet said? You know what he said, Believer's Tabernacle? He said real power with God is being able to love your enemy. That's real power, he said. God help us. Let's pray together. Father, in light of what's been preached, I raise my hands with these people and I confess to you, Lord, that I need your help with this. That I need my attitude to be adjusted, my focus to be refocused, and for what I think and how I feel about things, help me to pull in the reins, as it were, and put myself back in that right channel. Lord, when things happen this way or that way, and you hear this and hear that, Lord, how the human mind just bounces 1,000 different places. But God, help us, Lord, to keep that stuff out of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to realize we fight together, we love together, we sing together, we shout together, and we suffer together. Amen. Hallelujah. And for those on the internet, Lord, that might listen to this message later or are streaming now, may you grant the same grace and mercy at home right where they're at. May the power of God move on this church and for those abroad. May you bind us together in the love of God and help us, Lord, to see we're in this fight together. Grant it, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. How many just receives it now? Put your hands up and just say, Lord, I receive it. I receive, Lord Jesus, your grace in this. I just accept the focus that I need to have. I accept a change of attitude. I'm just going to take that thing out of my heart. I'm going to have nothing but love there instead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing something to the Mark. Let's worship together a moment before you go. Thank you for being part. I done my best to be done when that thing said 8:30, and here we are. Forgive me.
Now you don't have to worry.
Amen.
And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. Oh, for there's a friend in Jesus. He will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, and no matter what may come my way, Lord, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it. With him I know I can stand, and no matter what may come my way, Lord, my life is in your hand. So when your test and your trials, they seem to get you down, all your friends and all your friends and loved ones, they are nowhere to be found. Oh, remember, remember, there's a friend in Jesus, and he will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand, and no matter what may come my way, Lord, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it. With him I know I can stand, and no matter what may come my way, Lord, my life is in your hand. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There is no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time. Overcomers in this life, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. And just like a ship without a sail. Sing that chorus with me. Jesus,
this is why we need each other.
Jesus,
today,
if you don't, please don't you turn him away.
Jesus,
Jesus,
without him.
I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Now, I'm dismissing you. Here we are, 9:01. You never read a preacher more nervous about a clock than me. I wear you out with it, I know, but I also know you got to get up for work. But before we go, in light of how Brother Joseph's been preaching about man not touching woman, I want to make sure I say it this way. If you're a husband and wife, it's all right, of course. But you know, brothers, reach over and get a brother. Sister, get your arm around a sister. And we're going to sing this together as we go. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Do you realize that we need one another? Do you see it in a greater light tonight? Why? We need one another. Let's sing together. I'm so glad that I'm a part. Thank you, the one you got to handle.
As long as you stick together, the devil can't whip you. If he divides you, he can beat you.
And cleansed by his blood. family of God. Yes, I am glad I'm a part of this family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, and I'm cleansed by